Welcome to the Flourish Heights podcast, made for women by women. I'm your host, Valerie Adjamine, women's health dietitian and the founder of Flourish Heights. To be empowered in health starts with a true connection with your body. Together, we are breaking through topics surrounding periods, women's nutrition, body awareness, self-care, and much more. Let's flourish and be the best version of ourselves. Welcome back to another episode. Today, I'm chatting with Liz Smith, a multimedia journalist and advocate for endometriosis awareness. Now, Liz opens up about her own journey with endometriosis, a condition that impacts countless women worldwide. Her story is truly inspiring and serves as a reminder that we can all thrive despite our challenges that life throws our way. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. First of all, Liz, happy Women's History Month. You are truly a female disruptor. And I did some digging. Of course, I do that to every special guest we bring on the show. And I was so inspired by all the amazing work you do as a multimedia journalist, a producer, and an endometriosis advocate, especially. And I'm super excited to jump into that a little bit more in this episode. But to start us off, I would love for you to talk about, you know, like who you are, what you do, talk to listeners about all that good stuff you're doing.
Okay, well, thank you so much for having me, and happy Women's History Month to you as well.
Thank you.
I am a multimedia journalist. I pretty much cover media anywhere from entertainment, music, lifestyle, sports, and of course, women's health. I've been in the industry now for about 10 years. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, but I reside in Atlanta, Georgia. And I've had the opportunity to work in radio as an executive producer with Ed Lover, be an on-air personality with V103, now working in television with Aspire TV. And I've had the pleasure of working with different media outlets such as Boss Up and Essence and Ebony and Rolling Loud, and just a lot of people who have given me the opportunity to just really use my skill set and do what I love. So I'm very blessed, and I love everything with media, from creating to being in front of the camera, behind the camera, writing, voiceover, etc. So it's definitely been a fun ride for sure.
And you are definitely a powerhouse. So Liz, we talk all about women's health on this podcast, but today I really wanted to shine the light on endometriosis. And endometriosis, as you and I know, it affects 10%, about 190 million of reproductive age women and girls globally. But you've been an advocate for quite some time, and I got to learn about the work that you've done in the past with EndoBlack Incorporated. And to our listeners who don't know about the organization, it's an organization advocating for African-American women and women of color living with endometriosis. So they have like a bunch of events and resources and a bunch of just great work they're doing in the community. But for those who've never heard of endometriosis or may not fully understand like what this condition is all about, don't worry, I'll tell you. So just briefly, endometriosis is a condition in which the cells similar to the lining of the uterus grows outside of the uterus. So this can cause just life impacting pain, you know, during periods, sexual intercourse, you know, bowel movements, urination, and just so much more. But since Liz is here and, you know, she has her own experiences with endometriosis, I would love to hear from you, Liz. Like, what is endometriosis from your lens? Like, if you could describe it in a few words, what would you say?
For me, I know a lot of people who deal with it, and I understand why we say this. It's definitely kind of like an invisible disease. Just because you don't really see the effects outwardly, it's more so inwardly that you deal with it, from from mental to physical, to even spiritually. It's just the things that the challenges you'll deal with it. And for me, I've definitely experienced all three. It started off more so pain physically, and emotionally, even to this day, and it can definitely play a part on your, you know, just your spirit, how you feel every day. So it's a disease that can come and, like, you know, the symptoms come and go, and it's something that you'll definitely deal with just continuously.
Wow. And I would just love to hear you share your journey, and our listeners would appreciate that so much. Like, when you were first diagnosed, you know, how many years did it take to get your diagnosis? I often hear, like, it takes a very long time, you know, and I feel like maybe more providers are more aware of the symptoms. They know, like, what to, you know, what tests to run and things like that a little bit better now.
Yeah.
But man, like, that is very frustrating. And I'm just so curious to hear, like, how it was for you.
Yeah. So I actually started my cycle, like, at age 10, but symptoms started pretty badly for me, like, around age 11. And that was just the chronic pain and fatigue and just being so moody and irritable, and the cramps were just crazy. And it was irregular periods, heavy bleeding sometimes, sometimes not as much. But what really stood out to us that made my mom, like, you know, just concerned was the mere fact that I had all of these symptoms outside of bleeding. I had all of these symptoms even when I wasn't on my cycle. So we knew that that wasn't normal. And we went to several doctors, and at first they tried to diagnose me with IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. And they gave me medicine for that, but that still didn't do anything. The symptoms were still there. And it was still pretty intense, to where, like, at school, my teachers understood, like, I would finish my work and go to the back of the class and lay on the floor, or they would send me to the nurse and I would sleep in there for hours. It was several times where I would have to go to the hospital, just because nothing would work, you know, and even going to the hospital still didn't work, because they would just basically pat you on the back, give you a little IV, little, you know, pain medicine that still wasn't strong enough, and then send you on your way. So my mom was really big for advocating for me at a young age, and she always had a journal every time I went to the doctor and keeping track of my symptoms and dates and just things that I experienced. And at age 19, when I went in for an annual checkup, my doctor noticed that there was a cyst from ultrasound. She saw a cyst sitting close to my left ovary, and it was so big. She said it was about the size of a baseball, and she needed to go in and take it out.
Oh my.
That was initially what the surgery was for, but then during the surgery, and she was very honest about this after the surgery, but she wasn't skilled enough to remove the cyst without basically injuring the other organs. So in return, during my surgery, she took out the cyst, but then she also took out my left ovary and my left fallopian tube.
Oh my.
And we didn't find that out, obviously, until after surgery, because, as you know, or maybe you don't, I'm not sure, but those who got surgery understand that you sign papers before you go back in there, and you basically are giving them the right to make certain decisions, a certain cause that they think are, you know, for safety reasons during a procedure. So really much we couldn't do about that after that happened. And my mom's first question, you know, her first reaction was, oh my God, like, can my daughter still have kids, like, you know, later in life? And the doctor reassured her that that can still happen. It just may be, you know, infertility could pop up somewhere down the line. But I still wasn't diagnosed with endometriosis at the time. And soon enough, like, maybe months after that surgery, I was still having the intense pain and the same issues and symptoms all over again. So this continued for years, all throughout college.
Wow.
I moved to Atlanta right after college, so, like, around age 22. And I continued to seek help. I ran into this one doctor who then broke it down to me, and he didn't know, but he just was saying, I think you may have endometriosis. And while he was a specialist in it, he referred me to someone who was, and his name was Dr. Sienna Najat here in Atlanta. And he's world renowned for working with endometriosis patients. And so I went to go see him. I believe I was, like, around 25 when I saw him. And he immediately diagnosed me with endometriosis, ran some tests, and told me that I had stage 4 and that I needed to have emergency surgery. And I think I saw him in, like, maybe October. And then had so many tests ran from CAT scan to different ultrasounds, MRI. And then we went with the surgery in December. And that surgery, that was my second surgery. And that's where he cleaned up the endometriosis. He took my, it's on the tip of my tongue because he does this for everyone. He took my appendix out because, endometriosis, when it grows, it can latch on to different organs of the body, which also causes intense pain. And the appendix is a common area for it to latch on and grow. And according to doctors, they say we don't need it. I don't know, but he took that out. And then he took out another cyst that was growing down in there, but he also cleaned the endometriosis out from my chest cavity and from my thighs, because endometriosis can literally grow anywhere in your body. So that's when I became aware of that. Like, I had no idea it was growing in my chest cavity. Like, I had never heard anything of that nature. So that helped. And only the thing about endometriosis, because there is no cure, it definitely grows back, and they tell you it can grow back anywhere from 4 to 8 years. And so I had this surgery around age 25, I think I was, and I had my third surgery in 2021. And that's because it had grown back. It wasn't stage 4 anymore, but it was still at a stage that still was disrupting my life and causing me issues and, you know, pain. And I was just tired. I was, you know, tired of dealing with this. So I had my third surgery in 2021, and here we are today. So yeah, that was a long story. Sorry.
Oh my gosh, Liz, you've been so much. And who would even think, because we see you, you're in the media, you're looking so glam and always have this beautiful smile on your face, and you go through so much behind the scenes. So you started having these symptoms at 10 years old. You know, you were in the back of the classroom, on the floor, in the, you know, going to doctors, oh my goodness. And then having all these surgeries throughout the past couple years. And I think you mentioned at age 19, you had that like cyst on your ovaries, and still then you didn't have a diagnosis.
Correct.
That is how many years in total? That's like more than 10 years.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. My whole life.
Your whole life. And so I'm just wondering, like, I don't even know where to start. Like, have you developed, any coping strategies or routines to like help you navigate through the ebbs and flows, or just the ups and downs of living with endometriosis?
Yeah. I would say, like, at a young age, my mom put me on an old school method of using a hot water bottle, which like literally became like my best friend. We would just heat some water up on the stove, and then the hot water bottles have been around since ages. They're literally at like any convenience store, and put the water in there, and that warm compressing against any area of my body that was in pain, it just brought me comfort. That definitely helped. Obviously pain medication, but that's something that you don't want to really get addicted to, or something that you don't want to, always continuously take, because it's not good for your system. And come to find out, I found this out like a couple years ago, for me taking so much pain medication, that the lining of my stomach is thinning, which causes certain issues. You know,
wow.
Like my stomach can get upset pretty easily from different things that I take in and ingest. And you just have to be, you know, aware of that. But I've tried different things, from tea, changing my diet a little bit, exercise. I'm really big on, again, heat. I don't know, it's something about heat that just like brings me so much comfort. So like, I love when the weather gets good and I could just go outside and soak up the sun. Use your sunscreen, of course. Black women need sunscreen. But just soaking in the nature. I don't know, it's just something about being out in nature, being by the ocean, that is very healing for me and my body. And just also finding a safe space to communicate what I'm going through, whether that's from counseling, whether that's with a tribe like Indo Black, whether that's, you know, your tribe, your family, your friends, your partner, that also helps me to release everything that I'm going through and give them a better understanding of, you know, what I'm dealing with and what I'm processing. Then like, hey, I'm not crazy, but like, it's just, I can't control how I feel today sometimes. And then there's also different pill forms out there. Like, It's some twins, their sisters who also deal with endometriosis, and they came up with pills that help specifically with endometriosis during your period, before, after, etc. And I noticed those pills are a gem. And I believe it's called, I don't want to say it wrong, but I will definitely get you that name and that brand. They are amazing. And even people, like, you don't even have to have endometriosis to take these pills, because they have pills too for like PMSing during your cycle, bloating, all that type of thing. So, and I think it's the main health, but I'll get that name to you for sure.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate you for sharing that. I mean, you shared both physical ways that you've been able to cope, but also mentally, and just like looking into your community, your support system. And that's what kind of has kept you up until this point. And I'm like rooting for your mom, who was advocating for you at that young of an age, because for a lot of us, it's like, you know, we were just taught, okay, your period pain is normal, or, you know, it's normal to have this excruciating symptoms. And it's just part of what we have to go through as women. And it's like, absolutely not. Your mom put her foot down and was like, no, we're going to figure out what is going on. And so I'm just wondering, like, your mom, who was able to advocate for you then, it's like, how, I mean, advocating for yourself now as an adult, how is that?
For me, I think I've just only gotten better at it, because when I was younger, I honestly didn't sometimes understand why my mom would get so upset, or why she would just be so adamant about like dates and times and things of that nature. Like, you know, I'm just used to dealing with the pain. I'm just going as it comes. But my mom was just very stern on just making sure that we document all of this. And I understand where she was coming from, because a lot of people don't take Black women and their health seriously. And they kind of just push it to the back, like, oh, you just a mad Black woman, are always not that serious. And as I got older and I would reflect and think back to those times, I know that's kind of how they did my mom, and would just kind of like dismiss her. And just seeing her advocate for me just made me feel stronger about speaking up for myself. And I, when I first moved to Atlanta, you know, being here by myself, I didn't have family or friends. So I was seeking out these second opinions and doctors on my own. But I felt so confident doing it, because I understood what needed to be done. And I did my research. And, you know, I was just very adamant about getting relief, like getting help. And I just really, I didn't care what they thought or how they looked at me. You know, I just was like, I'm hurting, I need help. And this is what I learned from my mom, and this is what I'm going to do. And like, there was one time when I was younger, when, you know, we went to one of the gynecologists and they immediately wanted to put me on birth control. And my mom, I think I might've been 12 at the time, and she just got offended, because she just was like, that's just your answer to this? You're just gonna put her on birth control? Like, you know, she was thinking deeper, like, and I understand, because you know, they would try to project this thing on a lot of young girls, especially Black girls. You know, it wasn't even really for the pain. It was more so like them trying to insinuate that I was sexually active or whatnot. And definitely wasn't. That was so far from my mind. And my mom wanted them to understand, like, if she's going on this, there needs to be a reason for it, and there needs to be, like, you know, progress made. And birth control can help. It obviously doesn't cure it, but it can help slow down the growth of endometriosis, and can also, you know, stop you from having periods, is what they suggest when you do deal with endometriosis. But yeah, it's just seeing her be so strong and still graceful with it, though, and educating herself just made me to this day speak up for myself, speak up for others, and do more due diligence when searching for a gynecologist or for strictly just an endometriosis specialist, because they are two different things.
Wow. Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, as a journalist, because I know how demanding that industry is. So how has endometriosis kind of impacted your daily life?
I think I can't really say that it's necessarily impacted my career. I think it honestly has just made me like a little stronger, because I've gone through so much adversity health-wise, that adversity in my career I don't know. I just see it as just like a challenge. I don't necessarily see it as like a setback or you know, like I'm not good enough for something. And I will say, when I did first start in the industry, I didn't share my story, and I would like withhold that information from employers just because I was trying to, you know, make a name for myself, get my foot in the door, get many opportunities, and I didn't want people to look at me like, she's a liability or a crutch or whatever the case may be. But once I decided to be vocal about what I was going through, people understood my situation and gave me grace. They didn't count me out, but they just saw, I feel like they saw me in a different light. Like, okay, her determination is strong, or she's giving as much as she can. And that says a lot, seeing everything that she has going on. And it just kind of was empowering for me to just be vocal about what I was dealing with, because I was still able to succeed. You know, by the grace of God, I was still able to achieve so much. And I saw other women see it as like inspirational. And like, I remember when I first was vocal about it, I got so many messages and so much positive feedback and reinforcement. I was like, oh, okay, I don't have to be ashamed about it. Like, you know, I don't have to hide it. Like, this okay. It's I'm human. This is something that I didn't ask for, but I have it now. So I'm just gonna stand strong in it. And yeah, I think it's just made me like a better person all around.
I love that. And it's so important to share our stories. I mean, it's so empowering to hear someone going through something similar as you, or even just the education and awareness that you're bringing can help someone maybe who has similar symptoms get the help that they need, or just, you know, help them to advocate for themselves. And I think you're doing incredible and much needed work. So thank you. Now, a few years back, I contributed to this piece in Pop Sugar where a young woman, she changed her diet. She also had endometriosis. She changed her diet to this more plant-based eating pattern. And she noticed some relief in certain symptoms, especially when it came to things like pain. So you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I would love to dive into this briefly. But, you know, what treatments or therapies have you tried to kind of manage some symptoms that you've experienced, more so like diet-wise?
I will say I am still getting educated in that space, because I'm the type of person, if I like certain stuff, I'm gonna eat it. And I am working on that, because as a woman, your metabolism definitely slows down. So you do need to change certain things. But I will say that I cut back on sugar, don't eat as much, or like, you know, consume things that have a lot of sugar. Soda, I don't drink a lot of soda. I've always been big, like I've always loved green, like vegetables. And I've just continued to keep that up, and fruits. I love fruits, and my intake of water has definitely increased, staying on top of my vitamins.
Love
And
that.
yeah. And even like with juices, just trying to do more like cold press juices versus juice that has so much sugar levels in it, you know, changing that up. And I really honestly feel like that's pretty much it. And then also erasing processed food, that can be hard as well, but not consuming so much processed food, that definitely makes a difference. And then dairy as well. You kind of cut back on dairy, which I definitely do. I drink like oat milk or different things. Like I don't drink regular milk with cereal. I really don't even eat cereal that much anymore. Just little things like that. Cheese, I love cheese, so that's like my hardest issue.
For most
But
people, you're not alone.
yeah, so I have to do that in moderation. And I cut back on bread. I don't consume a lot of bread, honestly. That's the progress that I've made. And even my mom was telling me the other day, she's proud of me for that,
No, we
because
love progress, not
yeah.
perfection. We got to have some progress going. Hey, you know, I'm a dietitian. I do this for a living, and I'm loving all the things that you said here. And I feel like when it even comes to the literature, and of course it's always changing, but you know, some of the literature I've read around, you know, eating for endometriosis, they're all advocating for more plant-based, you know, getting in more fruits and vegetables and grains and nuts and seeds, and just eliminating a lot of the saturated and trans fats, which can cause more inflammation in the body and then, you know, lead to all the extra pain. So I'm loving all of the things that you mentioned. So for those who are listening, and maybe for those who experience endometriosis. And when we talk about advocacy, because we just did a episode on it, how can others advocate for themselves, whether in a medical setting or just to ensure their concerns are taken seriously? I mean, especially because, you've gone through that already.
Yeah, I would say the number one is definitely do exactly what my mom did, and that's document and keeping a, if you want to keep like a health journal and just write down things that you experience every day, because we all know when you go to the doctor, they ask you these questions and those symptoms, and sometimes we forget. And for me, what used to get on my nerves, I would have these symptoms and excruciating pain all the time. But as soon as I go to the doctor, my body was cool. And I'm like, they could think I'm crazy. Like,
Oh
you
my
know,
gosh.
It seemed like nothing's wrong with me. But when you document these issues and these things with, a timestamp, it's just proof to back up your theory and what you're going through. But then also due diligence, researching, looking at reviews on certain doctors and you know, just making sure that this doctor is the one for you, because I feel like we would do research when it comes to people we date, and honey, we'll go on Instagram and find little stuff about that. So it's like, okay, get your body, make sure you
Yes.
have due diligence to make sure that this doctor is a good doctor for you, and that they have good bedside manner, and that, like, you know, they're not just in it for the money, but that they're listening and they're engaged and they want to make sure that they're bringing you help and relief. And then thirdly, just continuing to seek education, whether it's reading different books or getting with different communities who experience what you're going through and asking those necessary questions and getting their advice about how they went about advocating for themselves and trying that method the next time you step into a doctor's office.
Those are all really great tips. I love the one you said about just like journaling, like, and I feel like you can journal like how you're feeling when you eat certain foods or your mood or when you feel the most pain. And you can take that to your provider and then, you know, get the proper treatment that you need to support. So those are all really, really great tips. Now, what advice would you offer to other women who suspect they may have endometriosis or have recently been diagnosed? Because it's very complex on so many layers, and it may be hard to know like what to start out with or who to talk to. What advice would you offer them?
I would say, I think for me, it really didn't set in that I had it until like I just was really aware of the different symptoms I was experiencing. Like, I feel like because I dealt with it for so long, I kind of swept it under the rug, and I just saw it as like, oh, it's a disease, but not really being aware of how it truly impacted me, because we're humans and we're just so used to being on the go and doing things, or you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a person who also I don't like to be like, oh, woe is me, and have a sap story. But as I continue to go through this and understand what I'm dealing with, I had to give myself grace. So everyone, definitely, if you're dealing with endometriosis or think you have these symptoms, you have to give yourself grace, because obviously there's no cure for it. So just like we're learning about it, the world is learning about it as well. And everyone will react to endometriosis differently. While we may have similar symptoms, our bodies are all different. And just really like processing that and understanding that, and like not being so hard on yourself, because you can definitely be hard on yourself. Like, you'll deal with the thing called endobelly, and for me, that's the what I can sound vain, but for me, that's one of the worst symptoms, because I've been an athlete my whole life and I've been in shape, and like, you know, I love my body. But as I've gotten older, the endobelly for me has gotten worse, and I can wake up and I can love how I look in the mirror, but then come 12 o'clock, I can look like I'm like 4 or 5 months pregnant, and it's really nothing I could do about that. And it can really mess with you and make you, you know, insecure, because it's like, I have this belly and what am I supposed to do about it? You know, like, is and I and this can happen from I cannot even eat anything, and then this can just show up, and here I am having to wear baggy clothes and hide this part because I don't want people, because I've definitely had people question and ask me like, oh, girl, are you pregnant? Like, girl, are you, you know, it's like, no, I'm not. And so now I got to be loud about it and let y'all know, like, back up, I got endo belly. And it's painful, and it's, you know, it's just something that I'm having to deal with and figure out how to deal with that. And if I could find a way, honey, I'm letting the whole world know. But different things like that. So extending grace and talking to endo specialists about the right treatments for you. Because some women don't want to have surgery. Some women don't want to be on birth control. You know, some women don't want to do different things. So you just got to figure out what works for you. And I would definitely say try all of them until you can figure out what your body takes to and what's going to bring you the best relief.
Oh, and extending grace, like you said, I feel like that's so hard to do sometimes, especially yeah. when you feel like you just have this weight on your shoulders and it's just, you're frustrated. You feel like maybe it's like you're feeling alone. Like there's so much to figure out, but extending grace, yes, we all need to practice that a little bit more. What are your hopes for the future in terms of improving awareness, research, support for individuals living with endometriosis?
For me, I think it being a topic of conversation, not even just amongst women, but amongst males as well. And like, I always give a shout out to my dad because he's in a house with me, my mom, and my sister. And he could have definitely been like tuned out and not, you know, a part of this conversation and what was going on, but he was always there anytime I was having a flare up or when I was going through things. And I'll never forget when I was younger and I was having an episode, and my dad, this back when, you know, he got the encyclopedias, he's scrolling through the encyclopedia trying to figure out what is going on with my daughter, like, you know, looking up symptoms. And he's always been supportive with every surgery to any other treatment I'm seeking, and letting others know what his daughter is dealing with. And then also that translated to my partner. He's very supportive from showing up to different Indo Black events, or, you know, reposting things that I have going on with Indo Black, and also just telling other people. He'll meet women and they may talk about it. He's like, oh yeah, my lady has endometriosis. I know this about it, that about it. So, you know, it takes more than just one group of people. It takes everyone. So the more awareness that we can get to just different people will just, I feel like, make it more of a topic of conversation, and just more seriousness will be put into it.
I agree wholeheartedly. All right. So this is one last question that we like to ask all of our special guests that come on the show. And that is, how do you flourish?
Oh, how do I flourish? Just, I don't know. For me, I'm really big on speaking things that I want to do and I want to see done. And whether that happens tomorrow or in 10 years, I just really stand by that. I have so much, just so much like belief in things that I could get done and change that I could be seen made, you know. And if it has to start with me, that's fine. But I just am a strong believer of speaking it and achieving it, and like really giving my desires to God and just mm-hmm. letting him do what he does whenever he's ready, and being okay with that. Like, you know, a lot of us, we want things so bad and we'll pray on it or speak on it, mm-hmm. but then we don't have the faith to think it's going to happen. And so I always, you know, write it down, speak it out, pray about it, and then I let it go. I let God do what he's going to do. And in due time, when he sees fit, it'll get done. And you have to be okay with that. You have to, like, again, give yourself grace and know that, like, everything will happen when it needs to happen. And so just maturing more in that space, it helps me to flourish and helps me not to grow envious or, you know, get mad when I see other people get blessed with opportunities, but instead celebrate them and just know, like, okay, the time is coming, and just continuing to work on whatever it is that I have going on at the time. And, you know, because consistency is key, and mm-hmm. just knowing that when it's time to flourish, that it's
yes.
going to happen, you know, and
it's gonna happen.
Do your thing. Yeah.
Do your thing. I love, love, love that. Thank you so much, Liz, for joining me to share your story with endometriosis. Now, for anyone living with endometriosis, know that you are not alone. Reach out for support, whether it's from your loved ones, support groups that you know, may join, or healthcare providers. and educate yourself about the condition. There's still so much that we don't know, and advocate, 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 advocate. Liz has been advocating. Her mom has been advocating. Now with this beautiful story that she shared, we can get the tips to advocate for ourselves a little bit better. Liz, your story is so inspiring, and we appreciate you for coming.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
What a beautiful and powerful episode with Liz. I was just so excited that she was able to come on by and share her story with all of us. If you were inspired as much as I was, please leave 5 stars in a review. I would love, love, love to hear from you. And don't forget to share it with someone that you love. I think it's definitely something that will touch each of us in a different way. Thank you for being here. I'll catch you in the next episode. And until then, keep flourishing.